Our Father and our God, we thank you this morning. We love you. We give you the praise and the glory. And everybody say, thank you for all you do for us. Thank you for your goodness. And thank you for your mercies. We thank you for your loving kindness. Every day, the goodness of the Lord is renewed and revealed in our lives. And we want to thank you, Lord. We trust you with our very lives. We give you all the praise and glory. We ask that the Lord will bless the exhortation this morning and let his name be glorified and give us understanding. Give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. If you are excited about the Lord, give the Lord the praise in the house. Come on, somebody. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. This morning, blessings in disguise. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord, he is good. And because of the way that he knows all things, because of the great and absolute and total foreknowledge that he has of all things, not only of the past, but also of the present, but including not only the immediate future, the distant future, and even forever, he knows all things. Amen. That's how great he is. And, you know, let's start here in the book of Romans, chapter 8 and 28. The Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, that's according to his purpose. Now, this scripture says, we know. So that's going to be my first challenge to us this morning. Do you know? Come on, talk back to me, folks. Do you know that all things work together for good to them that love God? Well, let's go into the word a little bit this morning and see, you know, how God is able to do that. Now, I'd like to put this scripture this way. God is able to make all things work together for your good. Amen. Even the things that look like they would not be good, God is able to still bring them around. Praise the Lord. Now, why is he and how is he able to do that? Well, that's because, like I said, of his infinite knowledge. Now, take a view of this. It's kind of like God has already seen everything play out. You know, it's like, you know, perhaps you've watched a movie so many times that you know what's going to happen next and next and next after that. And for somebody, and you know the thing so well, you know the script so well, you can rehearse it front and backwards because you've seen it so many times. You know even all the lines. You know what the next person is going to say, what they're going to do next and so forth. So somebody comes along that hasn't seen it before, you can tell them that, well, he's going to do that. And she's going to say this because you already seen it. You know, God is the same way. He already knows everything. But that's not all about God. You know, he is omnipotent. Hallelujah. That means whatever he says, he can back it up too. I mean, he doesn't, there's no reason for him to not be able to do anything because he has all power. And not only that, he is able to influence. Now, hear this. This is really the punchline of this message, so I'll give it to you early. God is able to influence everything that is happening in your life to make such things and everything eventually come out for your good. Amen? He's able to influence it. Now, God knows every move that you will make. God knows what every move that the devil will make, even before he makes a move. If you believe that, you can say amen. If you are a good chess player, you will know the moves of your opponent before they even make a move. Well, somebody who is not that very good, you know, some people don't know chess. Maybe they play draft or whatever, you know. But if you're not very good at it, you have to wait for your opponent to make a move. Then you try to start to figure out your own move based on what they did or the play they made, and then you try to figure out. Now, the ones that are really good, the great ones, they can come in, they can look at the setting, they know, they've seen the whole field all at once, and they know every move that you can make, even before you make your move, and they can make one move that puts you out, and you can't make any more move, and they can tell you checkmate right off the bat. Praise the Lord. You know, and then they are really good, you know, they can do that. Well, that's like the Lord and the devil. See, the devil has to wait for the Lord to make a move. And then he will try to corrupt it and try to foul it up. And everything that God, see, devil has no originality in himself. He has to take something that God has done and make a counterfeit out of it. He cannot do anything original. Praise the Lord. But God doesn't have to wait for the devil to make a move. God already knows every single move that the devil is ever going to make before he even thought about it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So when the devil is planning something against your life, God already knows what he is planning to do. Hallelujah. And not only on the front with the devil, even for you as an individual, God already knows every move that you are going to make. And even disappointments, listen to this, folks, failures, setbacks, and even mistakes that you make. Mistakes that you make that you think, oh, I should never, you know, whatever. You know, God knows that you are going to make that mistake. God already knew that you are going to do those things. God already knew the setbacks. God already knew the disappointments. God already knew the failures. God already knew everything even before they happened. Hallelujah. Therefore, he has already made provision of how he's going to bring you out of it. Hallelujah. But you must trust him not only explicitly, also implicitly. That means you must specifically commit things into him. That's explicitly. Or even in your subconscious, even when you're not thinking about, you already have committed everything to him implicitly, and you know that God is going to bring it all out. Praise the Lord. No matter which way it looks right now. See, not just what it seems like right now, but God declares the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. He's able to do that. He knows all things. Now, you say, well, why, you know, and how can God, I mean, how can all things work together for my good? You know, well, first of all, you have to believe the word of God in order for it to happen. Amen. If the Lord says all things can work together for your good, if you don't believe it, well, maybe all things won't work together for your good. Because the word of God, for it to have effect, must be mixed with faith. Hallelujah. So the way I see this scripture, rather than questioning God and saying, well, you know, maybe it doesn't look like it's going to work for good, I just use this scripture to encourage myself. Hallelujah. I say, well, the word of God says, God is able to make all things work out together for my good. So even when I slip up a little bit, make a mistake, don't do something that I should have done, and so forth, I say, oh, well, I wish this and that, and so forth. Then I always fall back on the scripture and say, well, somehow, for God to have allowed it, he already has my back. Praise the Lord. And he already knows what he is going to do and how he's going to work it all out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So I don't, you know, I don't worry. You know, I don't, you know, sometimes I do worry. But, you know, eventually, you know, it's not, I mean, if you don't worry sometimes, then maybe you are not human. You know, but the Bible says the word of God in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. And I've preached on this before. The word of God divides between the soul and the spirit. So the soul is where you worry and so forth. You worry, you have emotions, you have fear, you have concerns, you have all of this. But the spirit of God, and the, when your spirit is united with the word of God, that's where you believe the word of God. Amen. So you can use the word of God to separate all those emotions and arm your spirit, you know, with believing God. Praise the Lord. And don't worry about what anything or anybody or whatever is happening. Just believe the word of God. Amen. Now, there are many stories in the Bible to illustrate this point. How that God may allow things to initially look like they're going in the opposite direction, but how he can bring things back to exactly where he said in the beginning. Now remember that God's word will sustain itself. Amen? Amen, folks? I've already preached that sermon many years ago when we, in the old building when we first opened, that God's word is a self-existent and self-sustaining word. You should listen to that sermon on the website. It's a good one. That means that when God speaks something, it will come to pass because it will sustain itself. And not only that, God is also watching over his word to fulfill it. Amen. Hallelujah. There are many ways how God does that. He does it because, one, he has the ability to do it. And two, he has these, emissaries or what you will, like the watchers, the holy ones, the alerters, and all of the agencies that God has to carry out his word. The Bible says God gave his word, and great is the company that publish it. So when God speaks, there's a lot of, he's got angels, he's got things in place, principalities, he's got powers, and he's got everything else that you need, that he can use to bring his word to pass. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. In another scripture, the Bible says that the Lord's eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth. That's in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him," and so forth like that. So, what does it mean that the eyes of the Lord running to and fro? Well, God doesn't need to run to and fro about anything. God already knows everything. Praise the Lord. Well, you're not hearing me. I say God already knows everything. He cannot learn any new thing. He cannot know any new thing. Otherwise, he will not be God. He already knows whatever is there to know. And even anything that is not there to know, he already knows. Praise the Lord. That's why the Bible says, not only for things present, but things yet to come. None of these things can separate us from his love. Hallelujah. But he has these spirits. They are called the eyes of the Lord. The Bible in one place says, well, these seven, they are the eyes of the Lord. They run to and fro and so forth. And they go forth and they come back and they say, well, all is at rest. And they report to the Lord and tell the Lord. It's not like the Lord needs their information, but he likes to give them something to do, to make them feel useful and be a part of his dominion and so forth like that. So he's got these angels, he's got principalities. They're out there watching out, doing things on your behalf and so forth. Doesn't the Bible say that, doesn't the Bible say that God has these ministering spirits that has sent forth on the behalf of the God's elect to do things for you? Yeah. So he does that. And they come back and tell the Lord, and they say, all is at rest. They bring information back and forth to the Lord. So the Lord is able to do that. And sometimes when the Lord speaks the word, he sends those principalities and powers, sometimes angels of different categories, to go out and make sure that our word gets done. And God doesn't need to lift a finger about anything. Those people are going to, that's their job anyway. When I say people, I don't really mean people, I mean creatures. Those creatures that God has, they are there, to those powers, they are there to make sure that God's purpose gets done. Now, the timing of God is different than our timing. When God says something is going to get done, sometimes we are looking for it today, tomorrow, or the next day. Well, unless God tells us the time, then that's his business when it will get done. Amen? Amen, folks? Amen. But it will get done if he says it will get done. Whether he tells you, if he tells you the time, then you look for it at that time. But if he doesn't tell you the time, then you look for it at any time. Praise the Lord.
And it doesn't matter if it takes 1 day, 2 days, 10 years. We've seen so many examples in the Bible of all the things that God promised. And it, sometimes it looks like it's completely opposite in the direction of what God promised. But at the end, he always brings it right back to where he promised. Praise the Lord. Let me tell us of a couple of stories in the Bible. Of things that God showed or promised or whatever. And it looks like it's going in a completely opposite direction. But when God speaks his word, and especially when God puts his favor right smack down upon your life, then every other negative thing that the enemy can do or will do or try to do will only accomplish one thing, and that's to move you closer to the purpose of God. Amen. There's nothing else that the enemy can do. Because, you know, God doesn't need to struggle with the devil. Once he speaks the word, that word will come to pass. Even one man, he was called a centurion because he was captain of hundreds of people. He understood this, and he said to Jesus one time, he said, look, you don't need to even come to my house. Because look, I am a man under authority. I understand how these things work. When I give a command, you know, the Bible says that the Lord spoke, see, and it stood fast. He commanded, and it was done. This man also said, well, when I say to one, you see, in the military, you do first, and you don't even ask questions. Some people say do and ask questions later. No, in the military, you do. You don't ask questions. When your commanding officer says you do. That's it. End of story. Praise the Lord. You know, that's the code, you know. If you don't want to follow that code, then you don't join. You know, so your commanding officer tells you, you do. That's it. No questions asked. You know, so this man said, look, and I say to one do, he does. When I tell him go, he goes. When I tell another come, they come. And I understand how this thing. And I know that you are also in a dominion of your own. I understand these things because of my own situation. See, this man used his own situation to understand the law. And he said, look, if I been a man, I can give command and it's done. I can say to one, do this, and he does it exactly. He cannot change my command. I know also you being the master. Hallelujah. All you have to do is speak the word only, and it will be done. Praise the Lord. And Jesus said, my. I have never seen so great a faith, not in all of Israel. And the man, he had his request, just like that. Praise the Lord. Because he understood how the Lord did things and so forth. So, there is a story in many chapters of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, of this young man called Joseph. You can start at Genesis chapter 37. Clear on through the end, maybe skip chapter 38. Chapter 38 was inserted with a different story. But chapters 37 and then 39, clear on through the end, talks about the story of Joseph. Well, many of us know this story, but I want to bring out a point, which you have heard also before. That the Lord showed Joseph by dream of great things that will happen in his life. And he already saw, you know, even though he himself did not understand it, neither did his siblings or even his parents. His siblings became envious of him and so forth. You know, but he said it like he saw it. Well, I saw this dream, he said. You know, that we were all in the fields and, the, you know, we were gathering some sheaves, and your sheaves made obeisance to my sheep. And then again, he said, well, I saw this dream, you know. There were the stars, 11 stars, and the sun and the moon. And they made obeisance to me. And even his father said, what are you saying here? Are you saying that all your siblings and even your parents were going to make obeisance? Well, I'm not saying anything. I am telling you what I saw. Praise the Lord. That's the dream that he saw. And he said it. And then he saw the other one and he told him again, you know, well, you know, maybe he should have kept his mouth shut, maybe not. But because he said those things, you know, then the enemy said, well, okay, we'll see about that now. So these brothers planned, you know the story. They said, well, Here comes this dreamer of dreams. One day that they were out in the field and the father sent him to them. You know, I said, well, let's see what will become of his dreams. Let's kill him. Let's bump him up. Let's do this, let's do that. Well, somehow God moved upon one of his brothers and said, well, don't do that now. Just put him over here and so forth in this hole here. Because he was thinking to come back and deliver him and so on. So they didn't kill him. And then when they put him there, they said, well, they saw a caravan of slave traders coming in. Say, ah, well, instead of just letting him rot here, let's make some money off of him. So they sold him off, you know, for 30 pieces of silver, killed a goat, sprinkled blood all over his coat, you know, and so forth, to make it look like he was killed by a wild animal. The other brother came and didn't find him. He was saddened and so forth. They sold him to slavery. He went. And then so on and so forth. And all kinds of problems started happening to this young man. When he was at home with his father and his brothers, you know, and he had these dreams, how he would be great, that's the interpretation of the dream, and how all of these people that are around him, even his family, will make obeisance to him. It didn't seem quite like that was going to happen when he was in the hole. When they threw him in the hole, you know, then maybe the devil said to him, see, you should have kept your mouth shut. You know, now you bragged about the things that are going to happen to you. Now you are in the hole. And you know the enemy, he'll do that to you. You know, he'll twist the word of God. And he'll, you know, he say, you know, backstabbing, double, you know. I mean, he'll backstab you all the time. And he'll double cross you and so on. So he come to him and told him probably some things and so on. So he went in there. And then when they sold him to slavery, a young man carried him all the way from his own land into Egypt. Many, 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 many miles and days of travel away from his own family and country and so forth. And every time he seemed like he was getting farther and farther away from anything that would resemble what God had already showed him. And then when he got there, to make matters worse, Potiphar's wife framed him again for adultery because he refused to sleep with her. You know the story. And then threw him in the slammer. They put him in there and so forth. And in every situation, things start slick like stink. Even when the favor of God would be upon him, when he would get some promotion, when they would see that, you know, I mean, this man, he's got some skills. And they put him in charge of things and so forth. As soon as the enemy saw that, he'd bring some other confusion upon him and so forth. And throw him in the jail and throw him over here and throw him over there. And it always seemed like he wasn't ever going to really get out of his problems, or nothing was really good going to happen to him according to all the things that he even saw. You know, and devil, I'm pretty sure, kept mocking him about all the things that he had seen. But every disappointment, every one of those problems that Joseph had, from the time that they conspired against him to kill him, to throwing him into the pit, to selling him into the slavery, carry him into Egypt, for him being conspired against and framed to go to prison, every one of those things that kept happening to him, putting him that looked like setbacks in his life, all of those things were actually moving him closer to the purpose of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In fact, Joseph had to go to prison in order for God to set him up for that opportunity to become great in the land of Egypt. He was already being great in the house of Potiphar. Potiphar was like the chief of army staff, you know, and so forth. And this man was already being great there. But when Potiphar's wife did what she did and got him imprisoned, you know, well, God gave him favor again. You know, and he, you know, they started to put him in charge of things there. And everywhere he went, the favor of God was with him, but things were always very difficult for him. I mean, problem after problem after problem. And every disappointment and every one of those things, you know, seemed like they were going to make him get farther and farther away from what God had promised him. But God was working. Amen. So the story went, Pharaoh's baker, you know, and his butler were sent to prison. because they had disappointed or displeased their master, and they went to the same prison where Joseph was at. And by the gift of God that was in his life, the two men dreamed a dream in the same night. The same night. Well, why was it that they dreamed in the same night? Why couldn't one have dreamt the night before and the other one some week later? But God made it the same night. And Joseph, he came in, saw they were saddened, and interpreted the dream of one to be good. The other person said, well, gee, you know, his dream was good. Well, maybe I'll tell you mine. Maybe mine will be good. And the other dream wasn't good. You know, he would be taken out or killed. And the other one would be restored. Anyway, Joseph told the one that would be restored, remember me when you get there. He did not. Until finally, Pharaoh himself had a dream. And when Pharaoh had a dream that troubled him, and he called for everybody, the magicians, the soothsayers, and all of these people to come and interpret the dream, and they couldn't. Then the one that was restored from prison remembered, and he said, oh, I'm at a fault this day because, you know, there was a young man, you know, that had the gift to interpret dreams, and he interpreted like this and like this. You know, for the two of us, you threw into prison. Mine, he restored. You restored according to what he said, and the other one, you hung, as according to what he said. He said, this young man, he can interpret your dream. And Pharaoh said, well, send for him. Praise the Lord. You know, send for him. And now, maybe if he hadn't gone to that prison, you know, he might have had not that opportunity to get that chance to meet somebody that would stand before Pharaoh. But God was orchestrating it the whole time. And God was planning it the whole time. They, you know, I mean, Joseph, little Joseph, you know, he probably didn't know, or he just was going on, minding, you know, his life and so forth, and trusting the God of his salvation, the God of his fathers, he was trusting. And then God would bring him, started bringing him closer. And when he finally got before Pharaoh, the gift of God operated in his life again. And by the wisdom of God, he was able to interpret Pharaoh's dream and give him wisdom of what to do and so forth. Wherefore, Pharaoh also promoted him, you know, over the entire land. How many of you can say praise the Lord? In one day, hallelujah. He went from being in prison to being vice regent over the whole land of Egypt. And everybody saying, here comes Joseph, here comes Joseph. Everybody bowing down. Praise the Lord. And eventually, because of the great famine that was in the world, his family had to come and buy food in Egypt. And when Pharaoh had put Joseph in charge, his family had to make obeisance to him, just like the dreams said. Even though they had tried otherwise, even though they had tried to kill him, they had tried to sell him into the prison, I mean, all of these things, all of the negative things they put upon him, the word of God came to pass nonetheless. Hallelujah. And the things that the enemy will throw against you in your life cannot disannul the purpose of God for you. Amen. God's purpose in your life will be fulfilled. Because the Bible says, I will do my purpose, and I will fulfill all my counsel, saith the Lord. And the enemy, so all the bad and negative things that were happening were actually blessings in disguise for Joseph. It was a blessing in disguise that he would be sent to, I mean, you know, hardly could he have become, you know, monarch of the whole world if he stayed back in his own land. You know, hardly would that have happened because, you know, he was, you know, low down in the chain of brothers. There was only one behind him. You know, so if they were looking for somebody to be champion of something, he might not even have been selected. So God had to send him through all those things that looked like hoops and terrible situations that he was going through in order to bring him closer and closer and closer to the fulfillment of the blessing in his life. So all of those things that were disguised as disappointments, troubles, and difficulties, and challenges, and distresses that he was in, when the word, Bible said the word of God tried him and so forth, all those things that came upon him were actually blessings in disguise. Can you say praise the Lord? There was a story also of a man called Elijah. Elijah, we don't know too much about him at first, because in 1 Kings 17, he just suddenly appeared upon the scene from nowhere. Elijah the Tishbite, we are told. I mean, he just suddenly appeared, and he stood before Ahab and all those people and so forth. And he said, well, you know, except by my word, there won't be any rain until the Lord calls for it. And he went off the scene. And there began to be famine in the land. And you can read the story in 1 Kings and 17. And the Lord said to him, go out to the brook Cherith and dwell there, for I have prepared raven to sustain you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You say, raven? Absolutely. There's nothing that God cannot use, even a raven. Now, ravens are one of those birds that were even condemned by the Lord. So there's nothing that God cannot use. I don't have time to go into that, but there is a message also on that in the website, the brook, the raven, and the widow. You can listen to that. And you'll find out that a raven was not one of the best birds. It was one of those birds that had been condemned as unclean and should not be eaten. You know, but so God can use anything. Praise the Lord. The Bible says God takes the base things of this world, you know, to confound. These are the paradoxes of life, you know, that God can use. God does not need anything great in order to make something great. Hallelujah. But God takes things that people have despised and rejected, but chosen of God. Amen. There's another message on the website about that. Listen to those messages. They're good. You know, they will help you. You know, God will take things that everybody has despised and condemned, and he'll say, you know, that's why, again, another scripture says, you know, sown in weakness, but raised in power. You know, everything that God does is kind of like that. He never really, you know, when people are looking for greatness, God looks to something not that's nothing. Everybody, you know, knew that Christ was coming the first time. And they were saying, well, you know, this and so forth. Now, when he came in such humble conditions and situations that they missed it. You know, because that's how God does his things. So, he has the ability to take nothing and make something great out of it. In fact, the Bible says, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. And God who also, you know, makes things out of nothing. You know, the things that are, you know, that were not. You know, he commanded them. I mean, the things, you know, that are yet to be, he commanded them out of things that were not. That's how God does things. Praise the Lord. The God that can do all that, he can also take things, something that's already there, that's going astray or going wrong. I mean, if God can bring something out of nothing, then he can take something that's already there, that's a little messed up, and he can fix it. Praise the Lord. You know, if you don't believe that God can fix things that are messed up, then how can you possibly believe that God created the world out of nothing? You know, God, he can do all these things. He can take anything. You can read the story in Jeremiah 18. When God sent him to the potter's house, he said, look, I'm going to show you, you know, a story here. And he sent him down to the potter's house. And when he got there, he saw that the potter was making making something pottery, creating something. And as he was creating it, you know, trying to build the thing and so forth, the thing was messed up in his hands. The Bible says the thing was marred, which means messed up, in the potter's hand. But the Bible also turned around and said, and the potter made it again into a new lump. Praise the Lord. And the Lord said to the prophet, he said, can I not do the same thing with the house of Israel? You know, God can take things that is anything that's messed up and make it again. It's called a Holy Ghost makeover. Praise the Lord. Yeah, he can do that, you know. So I've made references to a lot of messages that we preached on the website. You can listen to Holy Ghost makeover is also there. You know, he can do those things and turn things around. Things that people might look like a disappointment. For God, it may be a blessing that he disguised, you know, and then he doesn't tell us everything all at once. And he's not obligated to do that either. But we must trust him completely with our lives. When God told Abraham to go out of his comfort zone to a place where he didn't know for a blessing, he believed God, even though God didn't give him all the story. God didn't even give him a GPS. Amen. There was no GPS of where he was going. God just told him, well, you know, just go. And he took one step after the other. He didn't know where he was going, but he believed God. Hallelujah. And the great blessing followed. Now, when Elijah, back to our story, told them that the famine would be there until he called for the rain, God also told Elijah to go to this brook, and that he said, you know, in Elijah, I mean, 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 3, he told him, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. Now, Elijah went and did according to the word of the Lord. That's very important. He did according to the word of the Lord and dwelt by the brook Cherith and so forth. And the ravens brought him food in the morning. Talk about room service. Hallelujah! Angelic room service. Before the guy would wake up, the ravens, God fixed the meal. I mean, do you have that kind of power with God? Like God can fix you a meal. God fixed the meal for Elijah and then sent ravens to bring it for him. Hallelujah! The man didn't have to do anything, you know, but he already stood in the presence of God. He said, the Lord before whom I stand. You know, that's all he had to do, was to stand in the presence of God all the time. Every day he was connected with the Lord, and the Lord took care of business. Amen. And when the ravens brought him food, you know, God didn't feed him too much either. Not four meals, five meals, six meals a day. You know, no, that's too much. God only gave him breakfast, you know, something in the morning and a little something in the evening. You know, so. And then finally, this is where the story actually picks up. Listen to this. And it came to pass in 1 Kings 17 and verse 7 that after a period of time that the brook dried up. And you've heard me preach on this so many times because it's a good story. Always a good lesson in there. The brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Well, again, that looks like a problem at first, because God had told him, go to that brook, and that's where you drink, and I'll send ravens to bring you food, and that was going on, that was going on. But there was no rain, so the brook began to dry up, you know, dry up, and dry up, and dry up, and dry up. Praise the Lord. But God allowed it for a reason. God chose to not sustain the brook. Amen, folks? God could have sustained the brook, but he did not. But he chose to let the brook dry up. And there's a story in there that might be for some of you. Your situation may be one where the brook is dried. Hallelujah. And God may say, it's time to move on. It may be a job situation and you're not making any headway or this and that and so forth. And God may say, well, that brook is dry. Amen. We have to learn to know the voice of God. Elijah knew the voice of God. Some of us may not know the voice of God, and if it had been us, we may have stood there and be praying over the brook. In Jesus' name, let the brook be revived. I bind all the forces that are drying this brook. In Jesus' name, I command the this and that, you know. Elijah didn't bother because he knew the voice of God. Amen. There are times when God says no. You've heard me preach about when Jesus says yes, that no one can say no. But what happens when God says no? Amen. Have you ever read that the Bible says, I am the one that openeth and no man can shut? But is that the end of it? Did he not also say, I am the one that shuts and no one can open? That's right. When God says no, you cannot say yes. And one time in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you can read about it. God said no to Paul. He besought the Lord three times. And the Lord said, no, don't ask me again. But my grace is sufficient for you. Hallelujah. So what happens when God says no? See, we must come to the point, and this is the next punchline of this message. God wants us to develop such a relationship with him that we understand his ways. Not just his acts, but his ways. Amen. Amen, folks. Moses understood his ways. The children of Israel only saw his acts, but Moses understood the ways of the Lord.
You need to understand the ways of the Lord, that even when God says no, or he allows the situation to look like it's a no, you understand that God is working something out. Praise the Lord. When the book dried, it was a no.
Because that was the thing that sustained Elijah. Now remember, when the bad things happen in the land, it will affect you as well. Hello, folks. If you think, oh, prophetic events and all of these bad things, it will affect you just as well as it affects everybody else. The famine that was in the land also affected Elijah, just like everybody else. And even his own brook dried up, even after God had sustained him for a while using the brook. But God allowed the brook to dry up because God was fixing something else in the future. God is always cooking something. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he was fixing to take care of the widow. And it was like a two-for-one, situation there. So God said, look, go up to the city of Sarepta. I have prepared a widow woman there to sustain you. Well, the widow woman knew nothing about it. Elijah didn't know anything about it until God told him. But God knew everything about it. And the widow woman, as soon as he got there, he found this widow woman. You know, and the Lord said, you know, to him, possibly, well, she's the one, you know. And she was gathering two sticks, you know, and so forth. And Elijah called to her and said, hey, what's going on? He said, well, you know, this famine's been long, and we're about to die, and so forth. And you know, I'm fixing my last meal for me and my child, and we'll eat and we'll die, you know. And Elijah said, well, you go and do what you said, that you are fixing a meal, but it's not going to be your last meal. Amen, folks? It will not be your last meal because nobody is dying today. Today, you will see and know that there is a God that has provided for your needs. Hallelujah. The barrel of meal will not waste. And the cruse of oil in your house will not fail. That little meal that you said is the last that you have, it will not finish. God will multiply for you. According to my word. And the woman, she had to understand that was the voice of God. Because she could have said, that's not possible. Well, she believed it and it happened. Now, you see that the disappointment of the brook becoming dry, God uses as a blessing to bring a blessing to this widow. This widow didn't know anything about it. But God said, I've already prepared her. Now, who has known his ways that he should direct him? We have these puny minds compared to God. And so, yet sometimes we try to act as if we understand everything that God is doing. No, we don't. And there's no way you can. Because the portion of the knowledge and the wisdom that God gives us is like a drop in the bucket compared to the ocean of God's knowledge. So don't even try to figure God out or try to figure out how he's going to do it. Don't worry about that. Just rejoice and praise the name of the Lord. Amen. God has a million different ways. He said, my ways are higher than your ways. Hallelujah. So the woman, God brought a miracle for her through the disappointment that happened in somebody else's life where the brook dried up and God was fixing to do something else. Praise the Lord. And Elijah's ministry at the brook had also become dry. God, he was the only one there. Amen, folks? It was only him and the ravens. You know, so maybe he preached to the ravens, I don't know. But he couldn't help anybody in that place by himself. And God had to fix that situation, get him out of there, and go help somebody. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There are sometimes you may be in your comfort zone, and you are not helping anybody. You are no help to nobody. Not even sometimes help to yourself. You know, and maybe he wasn't getting any exercise. Maybe he started getting, lazy and so forth. So God said, well, it's time for you to get up and do something. Praise the Lord. So God fixed this so that the brook would dry, so he would get up and go do something. And there are times that God will fix the situation or allow the situation to be such that will force you to get up and do something. Praise the Lord. But we must come to the point where we begin to recognize that every disappointment and every situation that looks negative at first, once it's in the hands of the Lord, the hands of the Creator, He is able to fashion those situations and bring something beautiful out of it. Can you give the Lord the praise and the glory in the house? Amen. Let me give you a couple of testimonies to close with that. Just before we went on this trip, of which many of you know, I had a situation, just something simple, but God was teaching me, and I've been learning this my life, and I'm understanding it better, that, you know, whatever it is, God's in it, amen. I don't care if it's a phone. You know, I needed to get a new phone. This was a situation about a phone. I needed to get a new phone, and I restarted it and so forth. The one that I really wanted, I couldn't get it because of the contract that I was with Sprint and these things and so on. The one that I thought I could get without any money wasn't really what I wanted. I wanted a phone that had a removable SIM card. Sprint didn't have that. And also a removable battery. Usually the new phones these days, they have embedded batteries. You can't take the battery out. You know, so if you really, your phone really gets messed up, there's nothing you can do. But if it has a removable battery, you just pull the battery out and everything's reset. Anyway, cut a long story short, I prayed, because I like to pray about everything. Amen, folks? I said, Lord, let the device that I will pick out, let it not have any problem. Let it not be this. Let it not have give me situation. Let it not give me issues and so forth. Well, I went to the store after doing some of my research, and I picked out a device finally, not the one that I really wanted, because, you know, I got into the one that I thought I didn't have to pay anything extra for. And then when I got home, contrary to the prayer that I already prayed, that the device should not have any problem, should not have any give me headache, the device had problems and gave me headaches. Praise the Lord. The thing would not boot up. I mean, it was fine in the store, and as soon as I got home, there was nothing I couldn't try. Didn't try to get this thing going, and it got stuck on something. So I was trying to do an update, you know, some required software, and it got stuck on it, and it wouldn't get out of it, and I just tried everything, and I got frustrated. You know, but inside of me, I said, praise the Lord. So I went to the store, and I said, well, this device and so on. So the guy takes a look at it. He tries everything. Everything that I tried, plus more, and he couldn't get the device to respond. And he says to me, he said, well, normally we would charge you a restocking fee and so forth, but, you know, this device is broken, obviously, so we'll let you have another one. I said, and he said, well, as a matter of fact, this is your chance to get into the phone that you always wanted. Praise the Lord. So I'll let you have any phone that you wanted. I said, any phone? Say, yeah. So I go over to the one that I really wanted in the first place. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And it turns out that the guy has the exact phone that I wanted. And so, and I picked it and I said, oh, I have that phone. And he began to show me the features and so forth. God knows what he's doing, folks. And the initial disappointment that phone, you know, where I prayed against not having a bad device and God let it be a bad device. Amen, folks. God was setting me up for something good, because I would not have gotten into that phone that I really wanted if I went the other way without paying a lot of money. But God did it this way, and I got that phone for nothing and for less than my original plan, because of God allowing something to look bad initially that I prayed about. Amen, folks. Do you understand all of that? Let me tell you another testimony. Because I was going to be away for so long, and I was going to continue to work on my other job. Some of you don't know that I have another job besides being a pastor. But I do. Praise the Lord. So, you know, I was going to work on my other job. In fact, I have two other jobs. So anyway, so I decided that, you know, God gave me the wisdom that I needed to get internet and all of these things working in Nigeria and so forth, so that I would be able to do my job. Or my job, all I need is internet. I could be on the moon. If I can connect to the internet, they don't care. Praise the Lord. So I had two jobs. I took time off on the one. And then on the other one, I said, I didn't take any time off.
I just told them, well, here's my new phone number for the next 3 weeks. Praise the Lord. You know. So I said, I'm just going to work from Nigeria. So because of that, I had to set up internet and all of these things and so on. Well, after God gave me wisdom of how to set up the internet over there, then I said, well, what if there's no NEPA or light? And how are you going to do that? You have all these things. So I began to research into solar battery and so forth. So cut a long story short, I found I could buy a solar battery that I could power from the sun, even if there's no NEPA, to power my computer so I can do my job. So I ordered the battery. And I prayed, because I like to pray about all these little things. And I prayed, I said, Lord, let this device be good. Because I don't have time to return it. It was just a few days to our trip. I don't have time to return this device. Let it be good. I've never had anything like this. Let it work. Let it do what it's supposed to do, because when I take it over there, I don't know, and so on. So I told the Lord all these things and so forth. Well, I think you already guessed the story. When I got the device, it was faulty. Praise the Lord. I tried everything. I opened the manual. They said, well, reset the battery, take out these wires, do all of these things. I brought out a screwdriver. I did everything and so forth. I tried everything. The thing would not work. And I said, what? I thought I prayed about this. I said, well, I don't know, and I'm planning for the trip. I think it was like a day or so to the trip. I'm like, how am I going to get? So I called up the company. And I said, well, this thing is faulty and so forth. I need return instructions. They said, well, we'll send you return instructions and so forth. We'll, send you another one. I said, well, is the other one going to work? Because this one doesn't work. They said, well, yeah, I said, well, how do I return this? They said, well, that unit actually is non-returnable. Well, they told me that before they told me they would send me another one. So I said, oh, what do I do now? They said, well, we'll send you another one. I said, well, does that mean you're going to charge me twice? They said, oh, no. Just throw it away or do whatever with it. And I said, throw it away? This is an expensive unit. Why? I said, well, that particular unit is non-returnable. Now, there was a unit that cost twice as much that I should have bought, which I didn't have the money because it cost too much. Or I didn't want to spend that kind of money on it. So I bought the lower level thing, which had less power, but I thought it would do what I wanted, and the thing didn't work. So finally, they said, well, we'll send you another one. They shipped it to me, same day delivery. I talked to them in the morning. In the night, it was in my house. The next one. So I said, Lord, let's make sure this one works now. So I went out, and I did it. As soon as I plugged it in, worked beautifully. I took it out in the sun, worked beautifully, like they said, because I bought a little solar thing to charge it. And then I said, wow, okay, cool. Then the Lord said, go back to the old battery. So I went back to the old battery, and then it began to work. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Some of you may not understand that. But I paid for one thing, and I got two things. Hallelujah! And they said, keep it, throw it away, do whatever you want with it. And then after the second one arrived and it was working, the first one started to work. Hallelujah! So the disappointment of the prayer not being answered was actually a blessing in disguise. And I ended up with two batteries that I was able to carry to Nigeria, and I needed exactly two batteries. And God knew that, but I didn't know. I thought the one would be sufficient. And when we got there, I found out that one was not sufficient. Because I had one over here doing something for the house and the internet. I had one dedicated to my computer and so on. And it was just perfect. And there was no way I could have figured all that out. But the Lord allowed all of these things, and he made my prayer look like it wasn't answered. Praise the Lord. That's right. That's how God works. And when he packages things that looks like disappointment sometimes, it's actually a blessing in disguise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise in the house this morning. Hallelujah. Now I want you to stand to your feet here this morning. The God of miracles. There is a song in Yoruba that says, Obaton Shongbogbo. That means the God that can do all things. Now, if you know that the Lord can do all things, give him praise here this morning.
The Lord can fashion everything. He can take the lump of clay that is messed up in your hand and make it again into a new lump. The Holy Ghost make over of your life. He can take disappointments in your life, things that look like they have gone the opposite of what God promised you, and he can bring them around to fulfill God's purpose in your life. Praise the Lord. The Lord is many moves ahead of the devil. God can checkmate the devil right from the beginning. Before the devil makes a move, God makes one move. Checkmate. Hallelujah. God checkmate the devil at the cross. You know, and if that wasn't enough, at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He put that stamp on it, whooped the devil all over the place in Sheol and so forth. My goodness. Took the keys of hell and death from him. And said, that's it. You are done here. Praise the Lord. The only power that the devil has anymore left is your unbelief and my unbelief. But if we can get rid of that, then we have true power with God. Now, if you understand the message this morning, throw up your hands and bless the name of the Lord. And I want you to pray and say, Lord, every time, and now, there is somebody here this morning. Because God doesn't give me these messages for no reason. There's somebody here this morning that you're going through some things. And it looks like it's opposite to what you are believing God for. Well, God wants me to tell you this morning that it's a package. God is packaging a blessing for you. It looks like a disappointment right now. It looks like distress right now. But God has a million ways that he can refashion and package that thing to come out beautifully in your life. And if that's you this morning, I want you to say to the Lord, I am sorry, Lord, for doubting you. And I'll be the first to say that prayer. Lord, I am sorry for doubting you. Because the Lord has done so many things for me. And every time sometimes I face some of these things, I still worry a little bit. But God says, don't worry, I got it covered. Amen. Praise the Lord. And God may allow you to make a mistake. But when you trust, and if you have trusted the Lord with your life, every aspect of your life, God will bring it around. Amen. And we know, if you believe that, you can say with me, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are be called according to his purpose. And I want you to say, and I know that God is able to make every situation and every circumstance work together for my good. Hallelujah. And I'm going to pray for you here this morning. Praise the name of the Lord. You say, Lord, you say in your heart, I've got this situation, and so forth. You know, sometimes, maybe you may be asking for God to promote you and send you a blessing. Then as soon as you are praying that prayer, you get fired on your job. Hello, folks. That's God setting you up for something better. You say, well, I'll pray, for something good, and then all of a sudden something bad happens. Well, that's God setting you up for something better. Praise the Lord. But we need to get into that situation where we have developed that trust with God. That God is able to refashion everything and bring it out beautifully at the end. Even though I don't understand it. See, that's the trouble that we have. We try to understand God. Even though I don't understand what he's doing, I know his ways. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not going to ask you to come out here this morning, but where you stand, if you need me to believe God with you, that there are situations that you need God to turn around, I want to see your hands up in prayer. Throw your hands up in prayer as we believe God together. You don't need to come out this morning. But I'm going to ask the Lord, those situations that look like confusion, that look like it's darkness, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, he's going to do something beautiful for you. Those disappointments, those failures, those setbacks,
even your own mistakes. Hallelujah. The Bible says that our God is the eternal God. And I call him the great mastermind. He can mastermind everything, and he finished the devil before the devil even started. Praise the Lord. Now, Lord, see all the hands that are lifted here this morning. We are your people, Lord. And I'm lifting up my hands also. Lord, we need help this morning. Thank you, Lord, for helping us. Lord, we confess that sometimes we doubt you, Lord. And sometimes we forget how great you are. Now, the God that dissolved doubt, dissolve every doubt in your heart this morning in Jesus' name. The God that is able to do all things, the God that makes all things, that made the seven stars and Orion and the Pleiades. Woo! The God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. The God who calls things that are not as though they already are. He calls things out of nothing. The God who can take two loaves and five fishes and in his hands turn them to feed thousands. The same God has spoken unto us this morning. Now, Lord, help us to believe your word, that we may sanctify the Lord in our heart. And Jesus said, speaking as the voice in the Old Testament, he said to them, there are two sins of my people. In the book of Jeremiah 2 and 13, he said, my people have deserted me. And they have hewn to themselves cisterns that have no water. That will not be your story in Jesus' name. Cleave unto the Lord. Do not be like these people that have forsaken the fountain of living waters and gone to their own ways. Proverbs chapter 3 and 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Don't try to figure it out. But in all your ways, whether you are praying for a battery or a phone, whatever it is, or even something, some more significant things in your life, it doesn't matter. To God, all things are possible. And with God, all things are possible. Whatever it is, don't lean to your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Commit all thy thoughts unto him, and he shall establish your works, and he shall bring it to pass. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding. Everybody say exceeding. Exceeding. Abundantly. Abundantly. Above. All that we may ask or think. Unto the only potentate, the great, the immortal, the invisible God. Unto the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, the author and finisher of our faith. Unto him that has all power in heaven and on earth. Unto him be praise, even in the elect and the saints this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now give the Lord the praise and the glory in the house. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Shout the praise of God. And I declare that God is taking those bitter waters in your life, and he's making them sweet. I declare in the name of Jesus that those circumstances and those things that look like they're going opposite the direction of what you are believing God for, I declare that God is using those things to work out something beautiful in your life. Only be of good cheer. Fear not, but only believe and trust in the name of the Lord. Let's put our hands together again, once again, for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to ask the praise team to come on up. As the praise team comes this morning, when you give your offering, let this be an offering of thanksgiving. Don't give this morning because, oh, let me give so I can get something. You know, people always tell people, oh, give so that you may get. Forget that one. Give because the Lord has blessed you. Hallelujah. Give the blessing of thanksgiving this morning. Give because now you understand that God is working for you. And I want the praise team to sing, I can see everything turning around for my good. Hallelujah. I can see everything turning around this morning. And as you prepare your offering, come singing with joy and believe God that God is turning your situation around. I can see everything turning around for my good. Lord, we thank you because you are able to turn everything around for our good. Even the things that look like they are going in opposite direction to what we are believing God for, you are able to turn things around. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the offering that has been brought into the house of the Lord this morning. For every one of your people that have given, they have given with joy this morning. They have given with thanksgiving. And the Bible says, making requests with joy. We therefore make our requests with joy this morning, thanking you, Lord, for what you have already done. I'm praying that you will help us to understand the ways of God even more, so that we may be able to see the blessings in disguise. The things that look like their disappointments and failures and setbacks and mistakes and even adversity sometimes. That we may begin to understand that God is able to turn everything around for our good. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name.